welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. Each month we get together to talk about questions that you've submitted. This program is designed for advisors who have set the goal to deliver truly comprehensive financial services through a team of subject matter experts. So advisors in this program have made the decision to get to the point where you're delivering this level of service, and not just at any level. Your goal is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services at a level that is so high that your clients consider you to be indispensable. And that is the point at which your clients begin to market your business for you. Referrals become easy because your clients are so impressed with what you do that they can't help but remark about the great service they receive from you to everyone that they know and that they love and that they care about. So each month we get together to address questions. If you're struggling with an issue, or if you're just dealing with the day-to-day routine of trying to implement and put into place this level of service, we get together and have this consulting session to address whatever you're dealing with currently. And then, of course, each month we give you a project to work on, you and your team, to move you closer to this level of service. So each month we provide you with a project that is designed to help you on your path to implementing truly comprehensive financial services at this level. So let's focus right now on how to get the most out of today's session. The question on the table is, are you ready to be here and no place else right now? You know, the idea of multitasking is actually a myth. I know people claim to be able to do it, but there's no question. The research is clear that when we focus exclusively on something, we get the most value from that. And not to mention the fact that this meeting system that we're using is very resource intensive. So as you're running this session right now, everything on your system is being taxed. It taxes the memory of your computer and the system resources. So just invest a minute right now to close down your email program, close down all other browsers, basically close everything on your computer other than this system that you're using to watch our session today. And consider taking the attitude that something we're going to cover today, it could be a game changer for you. So you want to focus and make sure your commitment is not to miss anything that could really make a significant positive impact on your business. Okay, the first question that came in. I've heard you describe my minimum fee as PMAR. Could you clarify what that term means? Okay, well, let me start kind of at a little bit higher level. I just mentioned that the mission of this program, the Advisor Pact Monthly Program, is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to my community of ideal clients through a skilled team of subject matter experts. Now, that's what you're trying to accomplish through this program. But when we start talking about PMAR, it brings to mind something optional, but I would say the majority of the people in the Advisor Pact Monthly Program have set this as a goal. Now, it's not required that you set this goal, but after working with us for a matter of months or years, advisors seem to just gravitate to this model, which is the idea of serving a finite number of clients who each compensate me more than my PMAR. Okay, so we're going to define PMAR. But the idea here is that most of the advisors in the Advisor Pact Monthly Program have this optional goal to build a set number of a community of ideal clients that's a set number of clients who are going to pay you, in essence, let's dissect the word PMAR. PMAR is an acronym. And every word in this acronym is important. So what does PMAR stand for? P is for predictable. M is for minimum. A is for annual. R is recurring, and R is revenue. So PMAR means that you are setting a predictable minimum annual recurring revenue for each client. In other words, you're setting a minimum, but it's predictable, which means that you can look forward and explain in very simple terms to a client not only what the fee will be this year, but what it will be next year. Sometimes this is a flat fee. For many advisors, that's optimal. We've surveyed clients on this. We've researched clients on this. Clients prefer flat fees. It's predictable. But many of you charge in other ways. There are other predictable ways to charge your compensation, for example, a percentage. So some of you charge a percentage of assets that you're managing for clients. That's predictable. So you're charging X percent this year, and it'll be X percent next year. You can, in very simple terms, predict for the client what the fee will be going forward. There is a minimum. So maybe you charge 1% for a client, but a minimum of, just pick a number, $35,000. So it's not only predictable, but there is a minimum. Annual means that annual recurring, let's just use those together, that what the goal here is in the entire program is to establish a business that is not transactional in nature. So in other words, you're not building a community of ideal clients where you only make money when there's a transaction, like when they purchase a financial product or if they take any action. So for example, mortgage brokers work on a transaction basis. When people purchase a mortgage loan product, then the mortgage broker makes a commission. So basically, what we're trying to transform the business into is delivering truly comprehensive financial services, but in such a way that you're harvesting your compensation on a regular recurring basis. And the PMAR just simply, you can charge at whatever frequency that you want. Some advisors charge quarterly. Some advisors charge, I don't know, three times a year. We do have the three-meeting process that we teach in this advisor pack methodology. So many advisors charge per meeting. So that would be three times per year. Some advisors charge semi-annually. The point is, PMAR converts whatever the frequency of your compensation is into an annual number. And the recurring means that the goal, if you have this optional goal, is to create a recurring stream of revenue. In other words, not just make money once, but provide enough value that your client understands and is happy to pay on a regular basis because they understand that the value is ongoing. And then, of course, revenue. That's what we're talking about here is revenue. So then the question becomes, okay, so now you understand PMAR, it's predictable minimum annual recurring revenue. So the question crosses your mind, well, wait a minute. If I set this goal of charging my clients PMAR, at what compensation level should I set my PMAR? Okay, so let's go through that logic. It's really very easy. It's a two-step process for establishing or calculating what your PMAR should be. So let's just walk through it. The two steps are, and then I'll go back and we'll dig down and show you a hypothetical on how to calculate this. But the first step is to establish the three numbers that you require annually. So I'll explain that in a minute. But you need to establish your three numbers. The second is to establish the amount of time you want to work. How much do you want to work? Big picture, in the long term. Not necessarily right now, but ultimately, once you've achieved your goal, you know, how much time is it your goal to work? And so with these two steps, you can calculate your PMAR. Let's start with the first one. Let's establish your three numbers. What are the three numbers that you require? Well, the first of the three numbers you need to know is the amount of money that you need to run your business. How much money do I need to run my business? That's to pay my team, my payroll, pay my office lease, including all my taxes, both personal and business. So I need money to pay all my taxes, and I've got all my expenses to run my business. What is that number? Second number of the three is the amount of money that I need to fund my future goals. Now, this requires you to sit down and do what you do for your clients. You've got to sit down and establish, you know, what your goals are for the future for you and your family. What are your goals in life that require money and planning to achieve? So the question here is, how much money do I need to set aside this year in order to be on track to my own financial goals? And then the third number that you require is to know the amount of money that you need to live a great life right now. So if you're living a fabulous life this year, how much money will that take? So if you're armed with these three numbers, that's half the equation. So let's kind of run through a hypothetical on these three numbers. So your numbers could be whatever they are. So don't read too much into this hypothetical. I'm just picking numbers. I'm just picking numbers at random here. So, but let's just use this hypothetical to so that you can understand how the math works. So let's say that you need, over the next 12 months, $681,453 to run your business. That would include all the expenses to run your business, including all taxes, both personal and business, all taxes. So this is how much you need to run your business and pay your taxes. Let's say you sit down and calculate your goals and how much you need to fund your goals. Maybe you're a little bit later in life and you didn't fund for your future goals for many years. Now you're playing catch up and you've got to set aside a significant amount of money each year in order to get on track to your goals. Let's say you crunch those numbers and you figure for the next 12 months what you need is $918,435 over the next 12 months. That's what you need to fund your future goals this year. And then third, let's say you sit down and you sit down with your spouse and you figure out how much money do we need to live a great life right now, this year, in the next 12 months. Let's say you figure you need $780,112 over the next 12 months, net after tax, to live a great life, to fund all your current expenses and your travel goals. Maybe you have a couple kids and Ivy League schools, whatever the case, this is the amount of money you figure you need. And this is a hypothetical. So when you add those three numbers up, the total over the next 12 months in this hypothetical is $2,380,000 if you add those three numbers up. Okay, so now let's switch over. The second thing you need to figure is the amount of time that you want to work. So you establish the number of days off that you will take off over the next 12 months. And these are non-business days, days that you're scheduling right now, which you're going to take in order to recharge, refresh, and reinvigorate yourself in life so that you can come back into the office and hit the ground running and, you know, run your business with excitement and enthusiasm required. So you establish the number of days off you want to take in the next 12 months. And right now, I'm just going to ask you, so that in the interest of time, you just accept this as an article of faith, that for the math, I want you to just accept that you're going to be investing 20 hours per client per year serving an ideal client. So we're not going to calculate PMAR based on anything having to do with non-ideal clients. We're going to assume that at some point your goal is to have a small community of ideal clients that you're doing a whole lot for. A whole lot fewer number of clients. And so we're going to say at some point in your future, there's going to be a day in which you only have ideal clients. You don't have any non-ideal clients. And just accept it for now that I'm telling you it's going to take 20 hours per client per year to serve each of those ideal clients. So with those two pieces of information, let's do a hypothetical. So let's just run through the time part of this. So I think we can all agree there's 360 days per year. It's one of these laws of the universe. So we've got 365 days per year. And let's say we take away from that the weekends. So let's say that we've made a decision that our office is going to be closed Saturday and Sunday every week. So that's, let's say that's 104 days per year. And then we're going to also subtract, let's just say hypothetically, 9 holidays. So that would be Christmas, New Year's, and maybe 7 other days that your office is going to be closed due to some holiday wherever you are. And so it doesn't have to be that amount. I'm just giving you this as a hypothetical. So it could be more or less, whatever you want. Now we plug in and subtract from 365 the number of days off. So you've set the number of days off that you want to take off each year. And this is the power of this exercise. You set that in advance. That's the big rock. That's the big rock that you put in first, which everything else has to kind of work around. That's why you do this a year in advance. So let's say you sit down with your spouse and you decide together that what you'd like to do is take off 8 weeks per year, 8 weeks of recharge days to be with your family. That's 2 weeks per quarter. So let's just say for just argument's sake that that's the goal. So if you take 365 days a year minus 104 weekends, minus 9 holidays, minus these 40 recharge days, what you're left with is 212 productive, high payoff working days that you'll be in the office. Okay? So now you've got that number. So just to continue with this time exercise, just to finish the math, let's say there's 212 productive high payoff days that you're going to be working over the next 12 months. And by the way, you can do this exercise at any point during the year. I think most people do it at the end of the year for next year. But if you're thinking about this right now, there's nothing that says you can't stop right now and do this exercise for the next 12 months. You can do this at any point during the year. So let's just assume that you're working an 8-hour day in the office. That's the goal. You're going to put in a productive 8 hours a day, 212 days over the next 12 months. Well, based on an 8-hour day, that works out to 1,696 hours per year for next year. Now, I'm just going to throw in another one of these things. Just accept this as an article of faith that as much, if you're very, very productive, you're still going to have about 20% of your time just doing administrative tasks that have nothing to do with serving clients. Mainly, this has to do with building and leading your team, either replacing subject matter experts or filling vacancies on your deliverables team, or sitting down reviewing the performance of your team members, or just helping them. I mean, it's amazing to me. I've spent my entire 30-year career hiring people onto my team who are extraordinary, who are very good at what they do. Well, even people who are extraordinary at what they do still need guidance. They still need leadership. They still require time in order to keep them on the same page with everybody else on your team. And that is going to be time that's yours. So let's just accept for now, for this exercise, that you're going to invest 20% of your time with what I'm going to call administrivia, just things that are going to be administrative tasks that you can't get out from under and are necessary to the running of your business. So 20% means 339 hours per year of administrative time. So then that the other side of that, so this is kind of an 80-20 thing. If 20% of your time is administrivia, then let's say that leaves 80% of your time where you actually are serving your ideal clients. So that works out to 80% of 1,696 is 1,357 hours per year. Now, I realize we're getting in the weeds here. Stick with me just another second or two, and it'll all come together. So that's the number we needed. You know, when you get to the point where you're not investing any time on client acquisition, and so you've got all your ideal clients acquired, you're not going to accept any more ideal clients, you've closed your firm to new clients, so you've hit your goal, you've got your goal number of ideal clients, and you're not doing anything else but serving ideal clients. 339 hours is kind of administrative time. That leaves 1,357 hours serving these ideal clients. So if you divide that 1,357 by the 20 hours that I'm saying is going to be required per client per year to serve each client, then it's simple math. 1,357 divided by 20 means that you're going to be able to serve a maximum of 68 ideal clients. That's your ideal client goal. So the number of ideal clients based on the time is 68. So you can and should promote that number wide and far. You should scream it from the mountaintops. You know, our goal is to acquire 68 ideal clients, at which point, once we've acquired 68 ideal clients, we're closing our firm to new clients because you've done the math. This is the most number of clients that you can serve per year. All right. So you need two easy steps to calculate your PMAR. The first is to establish the three numbers you require annually. We figured that number to be $2,380,000. Then you establish the amount of time you wish to work. Okay? We just figured that to be 1,357 hours per year. That's allows for 68 ideal clients. That drove your ideal client goal. Then it's easy. The amount of money you need divided by the number of clients that you can have is your PMAR. So you take the $2,380,000 divided by 68 potential ideal clients. That's the goal. That means that your PMAR is $35,000. So that is the way, that's the way to calculate your PMAR in two easy steps. So back to this, I'm just to finish up here. I mentioned that your goal, the mission is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to a community of ideal clients through a skilled team of subject matter experts. But this issue of PMAR came up because most of you have this optional goal to establish a finite number of clients who you will serve and each of whom compensate you more than your PMAR, okay? So when you turn that goal into words, it looks like this. Once I've acquired 68 ideal clients, each compensating me a minimum of $35,000 per year, I will then no longer accept new clients. Now, what have you just done? You've established a recurring stream of revenue that allows you to run your business, fund your future goals, and live a fabulous life. What more could you want? I'm a member of a CEO roundtable through the Chamber of Commerce. On November 11th, I'll be hosting this, I'm assuming. It's a group of 12 different owners of non-competing businesses. At this meeting, I can ask the other members for their advice on any subject I wish, as I'll be sending out an email with the topic, how would you recommend I proceed to help me in my ideal client acquisition quest? By the way, I just dropped this in from the notification from the advisor. So I should have gone in and cleaned up some of the spelling and grammar, but this was exactly how it arrived to me. All right. So he's basically saying, I've got this opportunity where I've got 12 business owners coming in to advise me. It's part of the Chamber of Commerce, a program that they've got. They're going to come in and spend an hour. I spoke with the advisor about this. So they're going to spend an hour and he can use it as a mastermind group to address any issue that he wants to their advice on. So he's asking me, how should I utilize this? I said, okay, so I'm going to start with the precept, okay? I'm going to make a recommendation that the use of this group is best for client acquisition purposes, okay? So you could ask this group to advise you on some issues that you're struggling with in your business, if you're having problems with staff, or if you're having any kind of a operational delivery issue, having a hard time building your team of subject matter experts, you certainly could deal with any of those issues in a setting like this. And by the way, I speak with some authority on this. I was the Chamber of Commerce of the, I was chairman of the board of the Chamber of Commerce in my town, okay? And so I had been on the board of the chamber for over a decade, and very active in the chamber. So this is something that I not only did, I called it a focus group, but I did something very similar to this. So I have experience and I have some thoughts about what seems to work best. What worked best for me is to utilize sessions like this as for client acquisition, for marketing purposes. In other words, to use this group of business owners to advance our client acquisition goals. Okay, so where I'm going to start with this is something that we call Marketing 101. We have a whole project. If you go to the Trusted Advisor Toolkit blog, We've got a whole project called the Marketing 101 Make-A-List Project, and it has to do with building a list of people in your community that you're going to approach to see if they're a good fit to working with them, with you. And so I call this Marketing 101. So what does Marketing 101 ask? Marketing 101 asks how many people who meet your ideal client profile know who you are, in other words, they know your name, and they know what you do, which is in essence the value you provide. So in your community, how many people know your name and know what you do? That's Marketing 101. I think we can all agree that if every ideal client in your community, even if you hadn't approached them, but if somehow they knew your name, they knew who you are, and they know what you do, that's a big marketing victory. Awareness of you is really a big win. So if that's Marketing 101, then the question is, what would you recommend for me to get on the radar screen of everyone in this community who meets my ideal client profile? So what I'm proposing that you utilize this hour is to say, look, here's my ideal client profile. Here's the profile of clients we serve best. And oh, by the way, our business is a little different. We only work with ideal clients. If somebody comes to our firm and doesn't meet the ideal client profile, we don't work with them. So for just a moment, if you're accepting survival clients and you're accepting clients that are non-ideal clients in order to, because you need the revenue to keep your business open, that's fine. The languaging will be a little bit different. But for just a moment, for the purpose of this conversation, put yourself in the world that I was in, where someday you're going to be able to make this statement. And I think for the purpose of this session with this group of business owners, I think it serves you best to make statement, declarative statements like this. So if you have set the optional goal to someday only work with a finite number of clients, in other words, at some point you're only going to work with ideal clients, then even if you've got non-ideal clients or survival clients now, just ignore that for the moment and say, you could even say that by the way, our goal is to only work with ideal clients. There will be a day in our business's future where I only serve ideal clients. So what we're going to do in this hour is I'm going to give you my ideal client profile, and I'm stating we have a financial services monopoly. I think these kind of declaratives are critical for a session like this to become productive. It's for you to stand out there and address one of the biggest problems that faces every financial advisor, which is all these business owners who are coming there very politely trying, you know, they're agreeing to help you for an hour. And you don't want to make it to where after the hour's over, they're glad to leave. You want them to really grasp that what you do is way different. And I recommend, and I can back this up with research that we've done, I would think it's really important, and this is what I did personally, is to make the statement that we, meaning you, have a financial services monopoly in your community. In other words, there's no other firm that a client could approach that does what we do. We're it. So the question is, what is it? What is it that we do? So we're going to spend an hour just for me describing specifically the client that we're looking for, the profile, and what we do. And what we do is very unique. It's not available anywhere at any price by any other firm in our community. And by the way, I can back that up. We've done research, and when you start going through Advisor Pact, the idea of providing oversight over creating a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for every client, that you're setting your goal to protect the client, pay attention, coordinate, and provide transparency. It's not me and my research. It's the clients that when we speak with clients in large numbers, this is what they claim they can't find anywhere at any price. So it's okay for you to emphasize that. Here's exactly what we do, and no other firm in our community does what we do, because we've specifically transformed our business into a business model to address the things that, our clients stated were not happening in the financial services industry. So we're filling a gap. So the question on the table is, for that hour, for you to convey to this group that my goal is that every person in this community who meets my ideal client profile knows two things about me. They know my name and they know what we do. So the question on the table for this group is, how do you recommend that I get onto the radar screen of every potential ideal client in this community? That's the exercise that we're going through for this hour. All right? Now, just a couple of ground rules. You should be talking very little, and they should be talking most of the time. So let's say he said it's an hour. So I'm going to suggest that you practice this. You record it, you do it in front of a mirror, and you do it over and over until you can explain what you do and the value you provide in 5 minutes or less. That you can, in a very compelling, concise, coherent way, you can invest 5 minutes and they are crystal clear on why you're a financial services monopoly and what radically differentiates you from every other advisor in the community, which is what they're thinking. I mean, the average affluent person, which let's just assume that everybody sitting around the table is going to be an affluent business owner, they just put financial advisors in the same bucket. They think financial advisors more or less do all the same things. And so they've got kind of a prejudiced, preconceived notion of what it is that you are, who you are, and what you do. Your goal is to bust that open. And so you're going to invest 5 minutes explaining what you do and the value you provide, and then you're going to invest the remaining amount of time doing what's most valuable with this hour, which is letting them talk. Now, if you invest 5 minutes, there are going to be a whole lot of things you don't say. That's fine. The power in this hour is to allow them to ask you questions. So since they're there for the purpose of helping you, there are going to be things that they don't understand. And I think after you invest your 5 minutes, you could say, let's invest another 5 or 10 minutes just going around the table. We'll pause at each person and just ask me questions. What is it? So I'm telling you that we have a financial services monopoly, that what we do is radically different than any other financial advisor in town. So let's go around and let's just do a little bit of clearing. So let's just let you ask me whatever comes to your mind to hone in and refine what you understand about who we are and what we do. And then you just allow them to ask you questions. So the point is, you let them do the talking. As a matter of fact, you should record this session. And when you go back and listen to the recording, here's your goal. You should time the amount of time that you're speaking when your lips are moving and words are coming out. And it should be at the end of this hour that you spoke 20% of the time and they spoke 80% of the time. You'll get more information out of them and it'll be a more compelling experience for them. That's mainly, and I'll get to in a minute what the real value of this session is for you, and it's not probably what you think it is, but I'll tell you how what the value of this whole hour is mainly for you. And this allowing them to talk for 80% of the time is going to really make it a more memorable experience for them. In other words, more valuable experience for you because they're going to remember it. Okay, so, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. As a matter of fact, in these advisor-packed monthly sessions, we've spent actually quite a bit of time on how to articulate what you do. But I do want to go through it just quickly so that you can say, okay, so how do I explain what I do? And there's kind of a formula to this. If you've been a regular listener to these monthly sessions, this is kind of a repeat for you. But I think in the context of this meeting, there's a way to circle back through this, and there's some additional things you need to cover. So, okay, so you explain to the group, this is your five-minute presentation, which you need to record and hone and refine and say it in front of a mirror until you and your spouse listens to your recording and says, yeah, you nailed it. In 5 minutes, it's very clear what you do and what differentiates you from other advisors. Okay, so you explain to them. First of all, we serve a small community of ideal clients. This is families, individuals and families that were helping provide oversight for all of their personal financial affairs. And we establish the strategy and oversee all the tactics for a client's financial affairs. And if you listen to past episodes, we use other language in this area, in this section, where our goal is to get a client's financial house in perfect order and keep it that way forever. You can certainly add things like that to this preamble. The key is oversight. The wrapper that pulls together Advisor Pact is oversight. That is the thing that is missing in almost every affluent person's financial affairs. There is no oversight. Nobody looking over the shoulder of whatever is currently happening. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that most affluent people focus on tactics. That when I sit down with a potential ideal client and I ask them, what are you trying to accomplish here? What's the end result? What's the outcome? What is it that you're trying to achieve? What are your goals? That very seldom, I would say almost never, is there a strategy. So these clients focus on tactics typically, and you're focusing on strategy. So I think, the two key things in your preamble that need to be emphasized is that you provide oversight and you establish strategy with the client. Okay, then you just roll into Advisor Pact. So what we do is we protect our clients. Our role is to protect our clients' assets, overseeing all the financial people and all the financial assets in a client's life. We pay close attention. Our role is to pay close attention so that whenever our client's financial strategy inevitably drifts off course, even just a little bit, we're proactive. We proactively make the course corrections that are required in order to remain on track to a client's goals. And coordination. Our role is to coordinate all the financial people and all the financial products and all the financial recommendations that come out of those financial people over the course of a year, and to coordinate all of those financial recommendations so that they are all well aligned with the overarching strategy. And then, last but not least, transparency. Our job is to ensure that the costs for all the financial people and all the financial products are upfront and fully disclosed, and that I'm able to spot every potential conflict of interest as they arise and report it to my client. So what I'm saying is this is pretty much the standard Advisor Pact conversation. But in this context, I think in your 5 minutes, you can go back through each of these and explain how and why you transformed your business model to address what you're going to call the four advisor blind spots. That what you became aware of some time ago, and it's really whenever you started, made the commitment to join this program, to begin moving towards delivering truly comprehensive financial services, you're explaining this to the business group as a transformation of your business model from an old way of doing things to this new way. And the new way is focused on what you're calling the four advisor blind spots. These are the four things that you became aware of that clients identify as gaps, things that they don't think they can find anywhere at any price. And that's what you explain to this group. So let's go back through these four things that we do. Why did we transform our business? Why are these the four advisor blind spots? Well, protection. We became aware of the fact that clients felt that nobody was on their side. Nobody was watching their back. Yes, they have a money manager. Yes, they have an accountant. Yes, they might have an estate planning lawyer. But those people, they didn't feel like it was their job. They thought that their job was to do their job in their narrow field of finance. They stick to their knitting. Their job is not to look over the whole thing and protect the assets. And if our clients had somebody, a financial planner or some kind of a money manager, they didn't really view it as their role to protect the assets from things like, let's say, fraud. So we've all read about Bernie Madoff and things where advisors and money managers run off with money. So the fact, what we discovered is clients don't feel like there's anybody working on their behalf, protecting them from things like that. So we transformed our business. We made that one of the four key things that we do. We protect our clients. paying close attention. We became aware of the fact that clients, first of all, they don't know often when they're going to be meeting with their financial advisor. So the frequency of, you know, meeting, when am I going to be able to sit down and go through things with my financial advisor was unclear. But when they, even when they get into the meeting, most clients are concerned that they don't think there's anybody really paying close attention to their overall situation. So yes, maybe the money manager's watching the money management piece. Maybe the accountant is watching, you know, the taxes and the accounting. Maybe the estate planning attorney is watching the estate planning laws and making sure that your, you know, estate plan is up to date with the current law. But not so much. I mean, even in those cases, the research is pretty clear. Clients are not confident that even those things that the experts are specializing in, they're not paying that close attention to their individual situation. In other words, if things did drift off course, clients were concerned that there's nobody really watching the big picture to notice, number one, that it is drifting off course, and then, you know, whose job is it to step in and make a course correction? It really comes down to whose job is it to know whether a client is on track or off track to all the goals that they've set. And that was a problem. So we transformed our business so that we are filling that role. We know at all times whether a client's on track or off track to their goals. And if it drifts off course, we're the one that steps in and recommends a course correction in order to get back on track. Coordination. This was a big problem. And we became aware of the fact that affluent people are concerned, or at least know, that their financial people don't talk to each other. They don't collaborate. So your tax expert doesn't pick up the phone and talk to your estate planning attorney. Your money manager doesn't pick up the phone and talk to your lawyer or your accountant. These people are not talking to each other, and we decided to fill that gap. Our job is to come in to a client's situation. They've got all these financial people in their life. They've got their accountant. They've got their estate planning lawyer. They certainly have all these insurance agents for their auto insurance and homeowners insurance and all these people in their life. And our job is to coordinate these people, make sure that before they make any recommendations, that they are collaborating with the others and that everything's well aligned with the overarching strategy, which, you know, coordinating implies there is an overarching strategy, and that's not always the case. So we fill that role too. We make sure there's an overarching strategy in place, and then we provide oversight to make sure that every single financial recommendation is in alignment with that strategy. And then finally, transparency. We discovered it's appalling how, you know, we would talk to clients and say, so what do you think you're paying for your financial affairs? And there were all these hidden costs and things buried inside the investments. Very few clients, even sophisticated, highly affluent clients, it was obvious they weren't clear on what they're paying for the financial products or what they're paying all the financial people in their life. So we decided to jump in and transform our business model and fill that gap. We make sure that all financial people and all financial products fully disclose how they're being compensated. And I make a report to every client regularly to make sure that both they and I are aware of what all these costs are. So I think, you know, this is something that you need to hone and refine down into a 5-minute pitch. You need to explain, here's exactly what we do and what makes us different. And this is the raw materials. Now, I'm going into it in more detail just so you get it in your head what you're trying to convey. It's up to you to sit down in front of a recorder and in front of a mirror and get this down under 5 minutes to where you're explaining, you know, what you do and what your ideal client profile is. So let's talk a moment about the value of this exercise. What is it that, you know, you spend an hour with these business owners, so what's the point? You know, what are you expecting to get out of this? Is it a bunch of advice from, you know, maybe it's one of the business owners owns a large local furniture store and another one owns a chain of hamburger joints. You know, these are not people that necessarily, they know what they like about what you're saying, but they, because of their business experience, they may be recommending things that we know don't work. For example, they may tell you to take out a bunch of advertising in the local newspaper or on the internet. Let people know that way, because that's what they do. They own a furniture store. You know, they're selling hamburgers. Maybe they tell you to, because they've seen it before, that you should be doing seminars. So we know that that is not a worthy use of time. That basically people want to find out about you through other people. So the best way to get a client is to be referred from a well-served existing client. So your number one referral source will ultimately be your existing clients. But we're faced with this opportunity. We have a room full of business owners who are willing to focus on our business for an hour. So what's the value of that? Well, most often the value is not the recommendations that they are going to give you about what they're going to tell you that you need to do to become known in the community. They could be telling you things that would be a total and complete waste of time. Your job is to absorb and receive what they are saying graciously and with gratitude for their time, and to not commit to anything and not brainstorm any particular idea, but rather to just accept like a sponge and receive what they're saying with appreciation, okay? Because the actual value of this hour is none of that. What they're recommending to you is if you don't get a referral from an existing client because you don't have enough existing clients right now, then the second best way for people to find out about you is by word of mouth. So a referral, but you know, it's these people being out in the community, knowing what you do, knowing your name, and knowing the value you provide. It's the two things we talked about. If your goal, Marketing 101, is to make sure that every potential ideal client in your community knows your name, knows what you do, then this group of people, business owners around the table, this is just your attempt to get that group of people sitting around the table to know what you do. Now you've got however many people are present, let's say 10 or 12 business owners. Well, now you've got 10 or 12 business owners who know your name, know what you do, know what makes you different. I mean, this is very powerful. You're embedding these people in the community. It's just part of Marketing 101. The people around that table now know more about your business than the average potential client in your community. They've spent an hour learning about your business and now appreciating how you are the only one in town who does what you do. So the value of this group is that they now know who you are and what you do. And what's really going to be powerful about this is your follow-up on that. So the follow-up after this meeting is really the most valuable thing. You go to the blog, read about the Marketing 101 Make a List project, and the idea of following up with each and every one of these individuals, taking them out to coffee, taking them out to breakfast or lunch, meeting with them and saying, look, I really appreciate you investing an hour going through this. And Marketing 101 Make a List project is just asking them, would they be willing to help you build a list of people who meet your ideal client profile? So your follow-up from this meeting is really the biggest value to this exercise. So you've got now a group of people that know what you do and what, you know, what the value you provide, and you're following up with them one-on-one individually to meet and ask them, would they be willing to give you names of people in the community, not referrals, but just help you build your list. You know, if Marketing 101 says, how many people in my community know my name and know what we do, then all you're trying to do is identify who's on the list. And you're not asking them necessarily to introduce you. You're just asking them, just go to the blog and read about the Marketing 101 Make a List project. It's a very powerful exercise, which gets people in a very disarming way to get involved with helping you build a list of people who might meet your ideal client profile. And as far as the email, you said you need to send an email out in advance. You might consider something like this. Many thanks for agreeing to serve on my advisory board for an hour next week. And in your email, confirm the day, date, time, and venue of where you're meeting. And you just let them know, you get their mindset properly. My firm serves a small community of individuals and families organizing and coordinating all their financial affairs. We offer unique financial services. There is no other firm in our community that provides these services. So go strong on that. We've established a profile of the client we serve best, and we only serve clients who meet that profile. We refer everyone else to other firms in the area. I'll invest 5 minutes describing what we do and the profile of the client we serve best. Then I'll ask you to advise me how best to ensure that every person in our community who meets our ideal client profile knows our name and knows we exist. Warm regards. I'll look forward to seeing you in a week. And by the way, that 5 minute presentation, if it includes their understanding of the client that you serve best, I recommend that you invest 5 minutes describing what you do and what radically differentiates you, and that you spend no time on the ideal client profile other than having it printed out on one sheet of paper. And that when you get to that point at the end of your 5 minute presentation, you hand out that ideal client profile, which we have in the week, in this monthly advisor pack session. We've spent a session talking about how to create the ideal client profile, that you create that and you make it into a one sheet and you just hand it out. In the interest of time, you don't cover it. You just say, spend a minute, invest a minute, look at this profile. And this is the profile of the client that we serve best. And we only work with people who meet this profile. And so just let them spend a minute looking it over. And when everybody has kind of stopped reading and looked up back at you, then you can kind of take control of the meeting again, and then start going around the table and asking for questions, see what questions people have to clarify what it is that you do, and so forth. So that is it for this month's session. This is episode 15 of the Advisor Pack Monthly Session, and listen, we wish you all the best in implementing. And until next month, I'm Mark Little. We'll see you again next month. Thank you.